Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.
The following is a recording of a question and answer series, Pariprasnena Sevaya, Day 8, given by His Holiness R.P. Bhakti Raghav Swami Maharaj, recorded on April 2, 2020, in Hebri, India.
Ongoing session entitled Pariprasnena Sevaya. Today we are on our eighth day, and as we have been doing, we will be reading a few paragraphs from the book speaking about Varnasrama. Before that, I would like to take this opportunity to wish everyone a very happy Sri Ram Namnomi. Today is the very auspicious appearance of Lord Sri Ramachandra. In that context, we sent out a little earlier today a short excerpt from the Valmiki Ramayana, which I would like to read. It's very short, but very, very appropriate to the whole theme that we are endeavoring to present, the theme being of Varnasrama Dharma, whereby Vedic culture is based on agrarian lifestyle, and where cow culture is the norm, the focus, and that being the focus, also cow economy. Two short paragraphs. This is Lord Ram addressing his brother Bharat. O Bharat, my country, which is marked with hundreds of sanctuaries near villages, means ashrams, where life for the people is made comfortable, where there are shrines, temples, water distribution facilities and tanks, which is well plowed and rich in cattle wealth, free from violence and independent of rain. Means a lot of rivers, lakes and wells, reservoirs. Even if it doesn't rain, there is no shortage of water. It is enchanting. It is safe from wild animals, with fears expelled, free from sinful people, adorned with mines, and well protected by my ancestors. It is prosperous, and I hope people are living comfortably. This is 2-100-46. And the next one, 2-100-47. Very significant. I trust all those men who live on agriculture and cattle rearing are favorable to you. And this is the important line here. The world's prosperity, dear brother, grows on the profession of cattle rearing. That is called holistic cow care. People used to read on a regular basis from the Ramayana or the Mahabharata, and in this way would be reminded of what is an ideal society and would become inspired by hearing the wonderful pastimes of such great personalities as Lord Ramachandra. Because today is Ram Navami, we will just take a few minutes to chant what many people in India chant on this day to glorify Lord Ram and his consort, Mother Sita. Sitaram Jaya, Sitaram, 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 Sitaram Jaya, Sitaram. Sitaram Jaya, Sitaram, Sitaram Jaya, Sitaram. Sitaram Jaya, Sitaram, Sitaram Jaya, Sitaram.
Sitaram, Sitaram, Sitaram Jaya, Sitaram.
Raghupati Raghava Rakshamam Patita Pavana Sitaram.
Raghupati Raghava Rakshamam Patita Pavana Sitaram.
Raghupati Raghava Rakshamam Patita Pavana Sitaram.
Raghupati Raghava Rakshamam
Sitaram Jaya, Sitaram, Sitaram Jaya, Sitaram.
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 Jai Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, jai Sri Ramachandra ki jai. We will take a few minutes now to read from our book speaking about Varnasrama, and then we will go directly to some questions that we have received today. Yes. So we're just reading a few paragraphs from a different chapter every day. Today we are hearing from a morning walk conversation in Los Angeles on the 31st of December, 1973. Very appropriate subject matter, as you will see. The title of this chapter is False Wealth or Real Wealth? And the main theme, which is summarized in the beginning here, is as follows. Paper currency, cheaters and the cheated. Gold standard is good because it discourages large-scale industry and trade. And last, real wealth as cattle and grains. So different devotees would, of course, be with Srila Prabhupada on these morning walks, and very often there would be some very enlivening discussions and even debates. Srila Prabhupada would encourage debates at times, taking on the opposing position and defeating, and vice versa. So here is one devotee by the name of Prajapati, speaking as follows. Actually, I was concerned this morning about inflation. The government and the newspapers, they say the biggest problem today is inflation. From our Krishna conscious standpoint, how can we cure this problem of inflation? A very topical subject in our present-day context, obviously. Srila Prabhupada replies, it is very simple. Don't accept paper currency. It must be gold or some metal worth. Just like $1, it must be worth $1 metal. Then it is solved. But they want to cheat. How it can be solved? Because if I pay you $1, I must pay you value for $1. But it is the cheating process is going on. I pay you $1 a piece of paper, that's all. So you accept cheating, and I also cheat. Government allows. So how the problem can be solved? It is cheating. But the government allows it as law, and you accept, I accept. Then how they can be solved? Solution. This is the solution. Prajapati. In the economy itself, there isn't actually enough money to, that's even in the banks. And before he can finish, Prabhupada replies, that is cheating. Therefore, I say cheating. I have no money. I give you simply paper. I promise to pay $100. What is the use of that promise if I have no money? But you want to be cheated. I cheat you. That's all. You are satisfied with being cheated by me. So I take the advantage and I cheat you. I give you a paper. That's all. Bahulashva, another devotee. Real money is gold and silver. Srila Prabhupada. Any. It must be value. According to the market price, it must be value. Whatever it may be. Gold is taken because gold is the most valuable metal. A small piece of gold, it can carry $200. But if I give you iron, then you have to bring another, what is called bus, to carry it. Because it's so heavy. So therefore, gold standard is accepted everywhere. There is a standard price of gold. So when I pay you money, it must be very, it must carry the value in gold, that's all. Then there is no inflation. The people want to be cheated and people cheat, that's all. So this whole conversation goes on for quite a few pages, and it underlines, of course, we can see how Srila Prabhupada was able to discuss and clarify and bring solutions actually to some of the most fundamental and very practical daily problems that have been created by present-day modern society, which is, as we all know, when we read the standard information and knowledge given in the Shastra, especially in the Vedic literatures, what is being promoted all over the world as economic development. We will now go directly to our questions. And this is our 24th question. This is coming from Radhaduti Devidasi from Pune. She sent two questions. We will look at one and then go to other questions. Later, we will take up her second question. So she writes, "Thank you very much for answering our questions. The sessions have been very interesting. I had two questions, which are as follows. Your Holiness had mentioned that it is the duty of every householder to see that not even a lizard or a snake in the house should go hungry. However, living in the cities, almost every house uses chemicals to control pests. Nobody wants even a small cockroach or a fly in the house. What to speak of mice, lizards, or snakes? When such a person shifts to a village community environment, it is very difficult for him or her to adjust, where small living entities are a part of the community. How does one deal with this?" Very good question, very practical as well. Actually, many of you may know that this global frenzy of wanting to be totally peaceful and without any agitation or disturbance from other species has resulted in a very critical imbalance, actually, in the environment. Why? Because through the use of different chemicals, as was mentioned here, as part of the question, in most cities, because people are spraying all the time, there are no insects, and etc. Due to our very global extended practice of using so many chemicals, chemical fertilizers and chemical pesticides, we have destroyed a huge number of different insects and other species, including animals, actually. Every time we expand, build up different structures, we destroy, or we make dams, for example, we destroy the natural habitat of hundreds and thousands of species. It is estimated, we've mentioned this before, that every single day on our planet today, we are destroying some 200 different species. They are becoming not only destroying, but we are actually bringing to extinction. And this is creating a very severe, unnatural imbalance in society. I mean, before the days of chemical fertilizers and chemical pesticides, people were living in villages, and they were living in harmony with other creatures, other living entities. There are natural ways to keep certain entities at bay, so that, for example, your house is not crawling with ants all the time. There are different ways. One of the most important, of course, which is very, very much lacking in our Western culture, Western civilization, is called cleanliness. cleanliness. I mean, I've seen homes in the Western countries. People in the West don't know what is cleanliness. I'm from the West, and I'm from that kind of background as well. And you know, we see how here in India especially, every day people, they clean the floor, they mop the floor, or actually in villages they use, as we know, cow dung mixed with water, and they totally spread it on the floor and on the veranda, on the side of the building as well. And people don't know actually how this is a natural, it is, what is it, antibacteria. So it's a question of knowing how to live following basic standards of cleanliness which are outlined in the Shastra, knowing how when we live in this natural way, then we will not be harming other living entities, and also vice versa. When we develop a higher consciousness, for devotees, it's Krishna consciousness. When we are more peaceful in our mind, when we are by nature, as our philosophy teaches us, Krishna is described in the Bhagavad Gita as Suridam Sarvadehinam. he is Suridam Sarvabhutanam. He is a well-wisher of all living entities. And Vaishnavas likewise are described in the Bhagavatam as Tikshava Karunika Suridam Sarvadehinam. They're also following in the footsteps of Krishna, well-wishers. Other living entities, Prabhupada would say, in connection with cows, for example, cows know when we are their well-wisher. Cows and other animals. And therefore, that is why most herds of cows in modern-day society, which are in the Western countries and elsewhere also, they are referred to as, one of my godbrothers was just asking me this question about what we call beefers. Cows are being raised actually for being killed, for being sent to the slaughterhouse. So there's no relationship whatsoever between people. Actually, they don't even look after. Like in Canada, in our Sharanagati village, there are so many beefers that actually come because we have such a large property. It's very difficult. Over the years, we've been fencing, to fence a 2,000-acre area. It takes a long time, and to keep it in proper shape as well. So it's a whole, it's a question of practicing to live in a more natural environment, using natural ingredients that will keep the surrounding neat and clean, developing the proper consciousness, and in this way, generally speaking, even though people, majority of people in the Vedic culture were living in villages, were living away from, you know, the modern industrialized cities that we have today, they did not have any such major problems. And in this way, one learns to live in harmony with other creatures. And it would happen sometimes, like, you know, Narada Muni, when he was a young boy, he lost his mother because she was bitten by a snake. These things happen. So we cannot stop the arrangement of providence, just like today, this whole epidemic, which is practically out of control. These are natural reactions due to not following the laws of nature. So the more we follow the laws of nature as nicely given, described in the Bhagavatam, then there will be much more harmony between us as human beings and other different species in villages, in the forests, etc. We will take another question here. This is from our own backyard here. Means from another question from Ram Lakshman Prabhu, question number 25, who is here at SSKBK where we are. Our founder Acharya is giving instructions to lead a simple agrarian life, to practice spiritual life, and our scriptures are teaching the same. Is it not considered, quote, disobeying the orders of the spiritual master, end of quote? Every day we recite this early in the morning after our morning prayers. How can we progress in our spiritual life? So this is reference to the 10 offenses against the chanting of the holy name. The third of those offenses is to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. And the question is, can Your Holiness throw some light on this? Yes, it is very clearly explained in the list of the 10 offenses that when we neglect to execute or follow the orders of the spiritual master, then this is not desirable, to say the least. And therefore, our progress in Krishna consciousness will definitely be checked, isn't it? How do we progress in Krishna consciousness? We advance, we progress in Krishna consciousness. We can only progress, we can only advance in Krishna consciousness by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. And Guru being the representative of Krishna, if we displease the Guru, if we displease Vaishnavas who are representing Krishna by following his, endeavoring to execute his mission, then we will not be pleasing to Krishna. And by not pleasing to Krishna, by not pleasing Krishna, rather, we will not be able to receive his blessings or his mercy. Our acharyas explain, actually, that it is the foremost duty and responsibility of a devotee, of a disciple, especially those who are initiated devotees, having taken vows, official vows in public, in front of the fire, in front of the deities, in front of Vaishnavas, having taken solemn vows, and then to disobey those orders by not following principles, then our advancement in Krishna consciousness will be hampered. We have read and heard over the years, actually, so many statements by different devotees, many of whom are senior devotees, to the effect that this instruction given to us by our founder Acharya to establish self-sufficient communities, to establish Varnashram colleges that will facilitate such establishment of self-sufficient communities, this standing order, which after 50 years plus remains largely unattended, is definitely very much connected with disobeying the orders of the spiritual master, who is our founder, Acharya. And therefore, we should take it more seriously, even though it is very challenging. I mean, it's a major challenge for each and every devotee to maintain this high level of consciousness, of Krishna consciousness, by rising every day in the morning at 4 o'clock or before 4 o'clock, by attending Mangal Arati, by chanting our 16 rounds, by hearing on a regular basis, following all of the prescribed injunctions given in the Shastra, given by the Acharyas. So, the foremost, this is the prayer actually, Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Swayamiva, that prayer by Srila Rupa Goswami. That how can I understand, my dear Lord, help me to understand your innermost desires. This is also very nicely explained. We've quoted this particular verse from the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam, a very important instruction given by one of our 12 Mahajans, Srila Dharma Mulam hi Bhagavan Sarva Vidamayo Harihi Smritam cha Tadbidam Rajan Yena Chatma Prasidati. Smritam, Smriti. Smriti means to remember. There is Shruti. Shruti means to hear. And Smriti means actually to remember, especially to remember what we have heard. So again, either we are not sufficiently following this very basic instruction given by Srila Prabhupada to read his books, to hear his lectures on a regular basis, or we are not hearing properly if we are engaged in hearing. So the foremost responsibility of an individual is to try and understand and imbibe the mood and the desire of his spiritual master. And in our case, as devotees, whether we are direct disciples of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, whether we are grand disciples, or now we are having grand disciples as well, our founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, remains the Shiksha Guru, main Shiksha Guru for every single member of our society. And again, in the context of what is taking place today all over the world, and I believe more and more of our devotees in general and more of our leaders as well will be giving this more consideration. How not having taken up as we could have, as we should have, as we still can, this very important instruction that Prabhupada acknowledged as being 50% of his unfulfilled mission, then we will not find ourselves in the kind of very problematic and awkward situation, very similar to the vast majority of people in the world today. We are meant to be supporting, giving help, giving assistance, giving shelter to people who are distressed. When our own devotees and our temples all over the world, I'm sure, I just read one report, I will not mention the name of the temple, it's one of our major temples here in India, and we have many major temples, and they are crying out for assistance, because it's very much connected with this question here. So hopefully this whole series of events that are taking place will generate more discussion and more thought and more meditation on some of these standing orders and instructions given by our founder Acharya. To me, it's very obvious that having neglected this whole dimension of Srila Prabhupada's preaching activities, and that Prabhupada very much wanted and desired, it is, in my estimation, and I'm not the only one also, to have this understanding, it is very much falling in the category of disobeying the orders of the spiritual master, in this case, our founder Acharya. More could be said, but let us proceed to one or two more questions. Question number 26. This is from Sruta Kirti Prabhu. Not the one we're thinking about. Sruta Kirti Prabhu in Kakinada. That's in Andhra Pradesh, in India. Not the original Sruta Kirti. Question. Most of the devotees are connected with non-devotees through social media, like WhatsApp, Facebook, etc. Does that consider, or is that considered as association with non-devotees? If so, what are the precautions we have to take? Good question. One devotee some time back had mentioned how those who are giving initiation should be adding over and above the four rules and regulations of no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, and no illicit sex life, no Facebook. Facebook is, of course, a social media utilized by millions of people all over the world. And generally speaking, the vast majority are misusing, overusing, abusing. And this also includes many of our own devotees. I have a Facebook account. I used it in the early beginning, some years back, then I've discontinued. We have some of our senior most devotees who are having a Facebook page, and it is being monitored properly, etc. Definitely, you see, whether it's on Facebook or whether it's in the general public, when we interact with people who are not devotees, then Srila Prabhupada used to explain, we cannot avoid that. And as a matter of fact, we should interact with such people with the intent and the goal of giving them our association as devotees. In other words, association, we should be very much guarding ourselves as Lord Chaitanya instructed. Asat sanga tyaga e vaishnavachar. Sri sangi eko sadhu krishna abhakta ar. So Lord Chaitanya instructed that we should all be very cautious about what is asat, what is not connected with Krishna consciousness. And he specified or identified three areas. One is Sri Sangi. For men, Sri Sangi means association for women. And for women, Sri Sangi means association with men. So Sri Sangi doesn't mean only Yeah, it's association, undue, unrestricted association with the opposite sex. Sri Sanghi. Asadhu. Asadhu means those who are not devotees. And this is directly relating to your question. Majority of people on Facebook are not devotees, so therefore, when we interact with them, we should be very cautious by minimizing our exchange, or if at all we have such exchange, it should be for the purpose of introducing intelligently the whole culture of Krishna consciousness, which may begin simply by speaking about the glories of becoming a vegetarian, isn't it? There are many different ways, and one can just approach or ask those who are very experienced in terms of preaching to such an audience. So Sri Sanghi, Asadhu, and Krishna Abhakta. Krishna Abhakta is also instructed by Lord Chaitanya. Those who are not strictly Krishna. Krishna Abhakta means not being a devotee of Krishna, because there are many different kinds of bhaktas. So we should be cautious by limiting our association with them and by always having in the forefront of our mind, how can I give them the association of Vaishnavas? How can I give them the association of this culture of Krishna consciousness? Simple living, or the whole ideology of what is very popular, has been for many years, what we call eco-village life. There are different eco-movements around the world that have been there for quite a few years. And therefore, you know, most governments around the world have also been very much more conscious about the importance of preserving or protecting nature, although we continue to destroy nature. As a matter of fact, statistically, this is established in the last 20 or 30 years, over 33% of the natural resources on the planet have been used up, have been destroyed. So this is something that can be discussed or brought up with persons who may not be devotees. So finding different ways and topics by which we can attract people to the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. We definitely should be limiting our time. We should avoid all kinds of prajalpa. Sometimes I notice, even on some of the WhatsApp groups that I'm involved with, devotees posting things which are, it's just like, you know, going on a tangent. It's not necessary. We should really stick to what is important, what is close to our philosophy. We should avoid getting into all kinds of heated debates with both devotees and non-devotees as well. We should actually discipline ourselves and regulate how much of time we are giving or spending on the internet, on Facebook, on our computer, etc., like that. And there are so many dangers, many, many dangers that are there. And therefore, it is said that actually the cell phone or internet is filled with, what is it? 80, if not 90% of the content is pornography and all kinds of very distracting and un-Krishna conscious subject matters that will be disturbing, obviously, to the mind. And so therefore, we should use these facilities as tools for preaching. Otherwise, we should avoid them like the plague, you see. They're very addictive, and they are also very, in terms of physically, very small example. This was shown to me by our Damodar Dulal Prabhu last year. He sent me a small clipping, small video, maybe 45-second video of a young child. You know how babies or young children, they get attached to their teddy bear, they get attached to their blanket, or whatever. It's kind of like, for them, it's some sense of security. This one little boy, because I know when I travel, I see at the airports all the time parents allowing their children, who are very, very young, maybe 3 years old, 4 years old, to be playing with these instruments, these machines. So this video that was sent to me by Damodar Dulal Prabhu was showing a young child, maybe 4 or 5, who had become attached to this iPod. And he was constantly walking with this iPod. But because it was always physically touching his body, you know, these machines emit all kinds of radioactivity or different energies which are actually very destructive, and especially for young bodies. So the small video was depicting, showing this young boy not able to walk in a straight line and just carrying, and his parents were just allowing him because they didn't know any better. So that's why in the Vedic culture, all of these different gadgets should, like in a Gurukul, should not at all be allowed. When I look back, actually, when I was in India many years ago, for the first, I can say, 40 years of my life or more, I never had any contact with computers, because I was a brahmachari in India and I didn't have a facility nor the use at that time for a computer. But I remember as soon as I went back to Canada and started using the computer, within 1 year period, I had to use glasses, because computers used on an extensive basis have a negative effect on the organism, on the eyesight, etc. And especially for young children, this is very detrimental. So these are different aspects that are dangerous for using these machines, and so therefore we should exercise caution in that respect. Let's see whether we have time for another question. I think I will close it here. We are close to about 8:17, 8:20. Just to remind devotees to continue being cautious, following the good instructions. We are still, of course, those who are watching this video, you may be in different countries. Here in India, we still have till the 15th to follow this lockdown. It's difficult to say. We know that in a place like USA, although they thought that they would have this not exactly a full lockdown, but whatever restrictions they have imposed, they thought they would have them in place only till the beginning of April, and now it's been announced that it is in place till the end of April, for the whole month of April. We should be taking opportunity of the time given to us, being in our homes, in our ashrams, wherever we may be, to do extra reading, extra hearing, and extra meditation on some of these very important instructions given to us by our founder Acharya. Srila Prabhupada would always be signing his letters, as we know, "Your ever well health." We cannot chant our rounds properly, we cannot attend the Bhagavatam, and we cannot perform our service properly. Therefore, it is important for us to do what is necessary to keep good health by following the various restrictions that have been given, by following our authorities. And today, being the appearance of Lord Ramachandra, we should pray for his kind blessings and for his kind protection. And we should derive great inspiration from the wonderful descriptions that are given in the Ramayana, describing how his kingdom, because he was totally following the principles of Dharma. This is meant to be the first and foremost preoccupation of any political leader of any country. And that is lacking, obviously, in the world today. Countries are meant to be governed on principles of Dharma. This does not go against the principle of being secular. We should not be favoring a particular religion over another religion. That is one thing, and Prabhupada admitted as well. That, however, does not mean, and one lawyer here in India was explaining this point some time back, I just happened to be hearing, how the Constitution of India, when it speaks about being secular, it doesn't mean that we cannot be practicing. It doesn't mean we are against God-given principles of religiosity. Therefore, the main point being that this is very central to our Krishna conscious philosophy, of course. It is very central to the Vedic culture, and it must gradually become central to any government in the world. We have a long way to go, obviously, but through different ways, especially through these literatures given to us by our founder Acharya, we should be understanding that this is the direction in which we want society to move. This is what we want people to know or to understand. Yes. And this remains an integral part of what we should be doing, because I'll just close on this point here. I'll remind devotees also something I mentioned, I believe, yesterday or the day before, how there's a group of devotees just very recently who are trying to put together a package, an educational package that will be able to present basic concepts and principles of our Vedic culture in terms of Varnashrama Dharma. We put together some years back what is called the Global Varnashram College website. We hope to activate this within a relatively short time. And the main point I wanted to mention here is that although Acharyas like our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada spoke extensively on the subject matter of Dharma, and specifically also Varnashrama Dharma, we should know that the implementation and governance of this Varnashrama Dharma will not be up to any religious organization. It is not ISKCON as a society that will be governing and applying systematically in society these principles. We will be, as a society, able to guide. That is our primary, that's the primary duty and responsibility of brahmanas. ISKCON meant to be primarily a brahminical society, promoting brahminical culture. But it is governments, it is panchayats at the local village level who are meant to actually implement these principles of dharma. And these are meant to be in keeping with the four established sciences, four established Vedic sciences that still are not being taught systematically within our ISKCON society, and therefore the vast majority of our devotees have yet to know this. And these are the four basic sciences, beginning with the science of philosophy, the science of education, the science of politics, and the science of economics.